EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs that are?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all well and doing good. I'm Nick Hunter and this is UFO Chronicles Podcast. We will be starting off with Dan in Canada and his witness submission. It's good to hear from Dan, he was a past guest and has another sighting to share. Then we cross the border and head to Pennsylvania and speak to Jay about his experiences with an incident from his childhood. But first, a big thank you to our recent supporters on Patreon, Valerie, Dwayne, and Rose. Welcome aboard, and I really appreciate the support from our patrons. Thank you all. And finally, a shout out to Ginny in the US. She loves the podcast, and it's all she's been listening to for the last 7 months. Glad to have you with us, Ginny. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show.
Hi, Nick. It's Dan from Peterborough, Canada. I'm a former guest on your show. It was episode 130, See the Lights. And I just wanted to call and let you know about another sighting that I did have. It wasn't as grand as the last one, that's for sure. But I thought I would call and let you and the viewers know about it, just in case anybody else could relate to it. Because it was something very, very cool and unusual. It was December, possibly around the 10th. Of just this past year, and we were in Peterborough, my wife and I. She was driving, and we were around our local university, and I looked up in the western sky. It was about 4 o'clock. It was a very clear day, bright sunny, just a few wispy clouds going by, and I looked in the western sky, and I said to my wife, my God, like, that is a super bright star for this time of day, for the first one to come out. And I looked at the clock, and that's when I realized it was just maybe 4:10, and I thought, oh, well, that's way too early for stars to come out. I mean, it was extremely bright and extremely, it looked like a very bright star, like Venus would early in the evening. And then it started coming down closer and closer. And I said to my wife, like, it's actually coming down. That star is coming closer to us. And then I noticed it was just above the wispy clouds, and then it was below them. And she said, when it was, coming down, she said, could it be a drone? And I said, I've never seen a drone fly that much higher than the clouds. And then it came down below the cloud line. And then it became maybe 300 feet above the ground. And it was, I could actually see at this point, the sun was shimmering on it. Like it was like a metallic kind of, but it was a complete ball, a circle ball, just like the ones I had seen before. But this was in the daytime. I've never seen it in the day. So that was pretty amazing. It was, yeah, like metallic, like shining off of it. So I could get a good glimpse of it. And I thought, oh, wow, like a lot of other people might start to see it because it was quite a busy time of day, 4 o'clock around the university. And then just as I thought, I hope it doesn't cause like a mass sighting or panic or anything. And then it started to go back up and it went up above the clouds, the wispy clouds, and then it came below them. And then it went above them and then below them. And then it went back up to being a star. It was so far away, and then it was bright like a star again. And then the clouds slowly moved over it, and the star slowly disappeared. And that was the end of that. It lasted maybe a minute and a half to 2 minutes from the point I saw the star in the sky to when it came down 300 feet, and then went right back up to being a star. And it was pretty amazing. So I thought I'd call and let you know, because I've heard you say before, no sighting is too big or too small, and I'm sure some other people might relate to it. It's quite fascinating how when I see them, they're complete balls. Like it's when growing up in the 70s and 80s, I always thought it would be like a flying disc, like a frisbee type thing to cut through the atmosphere, but they're complete balls, and it's amazing to see. And that's about all. And I just wanted to mention, maybe other people can relate to the other ones that I saw that I mentioned in the past podcast. When I saw the light spinning inside of the circle object at nighttime, it almost looked like it would be a lighthouse light in the middle, and it would spin to the left, and then as soon as it got to the far left, it would bounce and swing to the right, and it would go left, right, and it would change colors as it would hit the left and right side. And so that's just another way I figured I could explain it as kind of a lighthouse going around, but I don't know if it went all the way around. When it went to as far left as I could see, it pinged and went back to the right and then pinged off of there, and it was changing colors at the same time. If anyone has seen and can relate, hopefully that helps to describe that. Anyways, just want to say thanks again for the work that you do, Nick. You make us very comfortable for coming forward and sharing our stories, and we really, really appreciate all the work that you do. And have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Nick. Bye.
Hello, Jay, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. It's great to have you come on today, and you're calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's right outside Pittsburgh. It's a little town called Beaver Falls.
You're out of the city. That's always a good thing, eh? Away from the hustle and bustle.
Right, yeah.
Now, Jay, you'll be sharing an encounter that you remember having when you were 5 years old. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, Jay?
Sure. I'm originally from Toledo, Ohio. I grew up on this on a street called Bakewell. I don't know if you have any listeners in Toledo or not. Hopefully you do. But that was my hometown. I grew up there. I was there until I was 22, and I moved out eventually. But I can remember when I was 5 years old, we moved into this house where I ended up spending the next 18 years. And I can't say it was really strange, but after, you know, listening to another podcast that I listened to Coast AM, and they had a guest on that was talking about mantis being encountered. Well, my story is similar to, you know, other mantis encounters that you probably heard, but I can remember, okay, now the house that I grew up in, it was converted. It used to be, it was a really old house. It was a one story, had a flat roof, and it used to be like a convenience store way back in the day, way before it got converted into a house. So the ceilings were probably about, I'd say 8.5, 9 foot tall. And I can remember we had just moved into the house. I was there maybe a week, and we didn't have everything set up yet in my bedroom. So I slept in my parents' bed. And they always went to bed later. I was in bed by 8:30, 9 o'clock every night as a five-year-old. I can remember I'm laying on my bed. And now, like I said, I had 8.5, 9 foot tall ceilings. And it was weird. To my five-year-old mind, I thought I was looking at a giant grasshopper. To me, that's what it looked like. And all I could see was the head and the face of this being. And it was, I knew it was tall because the head was like right in the upper corner of my bedroom. So this thing had to have been at least 9 foot tall. And it was weird because, like I said, in my five-year-old mind, I thought it was a giant grasshopper. And that was on the first encounter with this thing, because I woke up the next morning and I can remember looking around, because I learned in school that insects lay egg sacs. You know, they have eggs. So I remember looking around my room the next morning for an egg sac. I couldn't find anything. And, you know, it didn't scare me or anything at first, but then the encounter happened again that night. And it was the strangest thing, because this being would just stare at me. It wouldn't make any movements towards me. You know what I mean? Nothing. It was just, I remember looking over in the corner, rolling over in my bed, looking up at this thing, and it was staring directly at me. And eventually, I don't know why, but eventually I was scared of it, because I can remember pulling my covers up over my head. You know, as you do as a five-year-old when you're scared. I pulled the covers up over my head, you know, trying to get away from this thing because I was scared. And these encounters happened for about a week, at least. It was about a week, maybe a week and a half, every night. And it was in the same exact spot in my room. My bed was sitting on the left side of the room, long ways. Well, my parents' bed, anyway. And it was a pretty large bedroom. And it could, there was a door on my right that led out to the living room and the dining room and everything. But beyond that, on the opposite side of that door is where I've seen this mantis being every night for about a week and a half. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I just forgot about it, right? And it just stopped coming. Like, I never seen it again after that. But the strangest thing happened to me probably a month, maybe a little less after that. I would get these. Okay, I was kind of a bad kid. I was always getting into stuff, and my parents couldn't take it all the time. So they would make me stay in bed no matter what time I woke up. They would make me stay in bed until like 10 o'clock in the morning so they could get there. You know, I understand it now as an adult and a father, but, you know, they had to get their bearings. They had to drink their coffee, smoke their cigarettes before they dealt with a rambunctious five-year-old. So they would make me stay in bed. And I can remember waking up, staying in bed, and I knew when it was okay to get up. I didn't have a clock or anything or a watch at the time, but I knew when it was okay to get out of my room and start my day, because I would hear The Price is Right on TV. My mother watched it religiously. And that came on at 11 o'clock in the morning, every morning. So I knew it was okay to get up, but I would lay there, and this happened for a really long time. I would lay there, and all of the sounds in the house would amplify. Now, to give you more of a clearer picture of all the sounds in the house, I lived in a house over on Bakewell. I don't know if you have listeners in Toledo, Ohio or not, but they would know where Bakewell Street is, over on the east side of Toledo. I went to Birmingham School. I graduated from Wade High School in 96. But my dad would raise, he had birds. He had cockatiels, the little gray ones. And, you know, they were really noisy. And my dad used to talk on a CB radio all the time, Citizen Band Radio. He had a bunch of friends on there. And he always had a TV going at the same time. And all of the sounds in the house, including the air conditioner that was on, or the heater, whichever it was at the time. Like I said, this happened for a long time. All of the sounds in the house would amplify inside my head. Like I could hear it as clear as you're hearing me now. I could hear it, but all the sounds would come together and they would amplify. And it almost made me, like, I can remember coming out of my room crying to my dad because I thought something was happening to me. For some reason, I feel like that's all tied in to this mantis being encountered. I don't know why, I just feel like it is. And then one other strange encounter that I had when I was probably about 15, 16 years old. And I don't know, you know, if they travel in spaceships or how they travel, you know, on this planet or in this plane, but I was about 15, 16 years old and I'm walking. We have a bridge in Toledo. It's called the Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge. I was walking across this bridge and right downtown Toledo, there is a 32-story glass building. Back when I lived there, it was called the OI building for some reason, but now it's Fifth Third Bank. And it's 32 stories tall. It's all glass. You know, it's right near, we have entertainment there every summer. Rally by the River goes on. I don't know if it still goes on or not, but it used to go on there all the time. But this was about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm by myself. I'm going to meet a friend downtown because we were going to hang out and drink, you know, 16-year-olds. So I'm walking across this bridge, and I don't know if you're familiar with the video of it was on top of the Dome of the Rock. I forget what country it is now.
In Israel.
Yeah. You know how that, yeah, you've seen that video where that light is over the top of the Dome of the Rock, and all of a sudden it just, a big bright light, it flashes and then it just shoots up straight up.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, this thing, it, like so many of your other callers said when they encounter UFOs, this thing had a liquid movement to it, almost like you would see, it wasn't really a light, it was like a diamond glistening. And okay, I'm in the middle of the bridge, and this building that I'm telling you about is probably maybe a half mile, quarter mile away from me on top of the bridge. And standing there, I'm looking at this thing, and it slowly moves. It's on the right side of the building. It slowly moves from the right. And to me, it looked like it went through the building, but I don't think it back on it now. I don't think it did. It just went behind the building where I couldn't see it for a second. And then when it appeared on the other side of the building, it just shot up like nothing I've ever seen before in my life. And I hope I get to see it again, actually, something similar, because now that I'm older, I know, you know, what, you know, certain things that are happening on this planet, my mind has been open to certain things. And it was the most amazing thing I ever saw. It was just hovering there for a minute. And like I said, it had a fluid motion to it. I can't tell if it was rotating, you know what I mean? I couldn't tell, but it had kind of like a diamond. If you were shining a light in a diamond, that type of sparkle to it. And it just shot straight. I think it knew that I was looking at it because I don't know. Thinking back on it, I just got that feeling that it knew I was observing it. Because it, like I said, it went from the left side of the building, this 32-story building, and, you know, around back of it to the right side, and it moved probably about, my view, it looked like, you know, it wasn't that far, maybe an inch or two, but I'm guessing maybe 200-300 feet away from the building. And it was hovering. Like I said, this building is 32 stories tall. I don't know how many feet that is. It was probably about a quarter of the way from the top of the building, right over the Maumee River. And it just shot straight up. Like, I've never seen anything move so fast in my life. And I still haven't seen anything move that fast in real life. But it just shot up. And when I looked up at it to see where it went, and it was weird too, because it didn't leave any, like I said, it was glistening like a diamond, but there was no streak. There was no streak behind it. It just kind of like I don't know, it was instantaneous. It just shot straight up in the sky. And it was a summer night. It was relatively clear. And I seen, when I looked up to see where it went, there was probably like three or four red dots in sequence. They weren't blinking or anything. They were steady on, but they were so dim, you could barely see them. But, you know, standing there looking to see where this thing went, I could see that almost positive it was in the shape of a triangle. And then all of a sudden, the lights just disappeared. And they just kind of like faded out. And that was the last time I ever seen anything like that before. So, but like I said, it was, I don't know, man, that mantis being, you know, the days before, you know, I knew I was going to be on this podcast, I've actually been looking into it. And then I find myself secretly hoping that it does show itself to me again. Because from what I've read, they live hundreds of years anyway. So if I see one again, hopefully it's the same one. Because I'm curious, you know, why were you staring at me? Don't all five-year-olds act the same? You know what I mean? Like a kid's a kid. So why observe me for a week like you did and then just disappear? It was weird.
There's usually a reason for it. And a lot of these encounters that people have at childhood, that's usually only really the beginning, can sometimes continue on throughout life. And it can also include family members and that. But it's strange how it was a new house. You don't remember it happening in your previous property.
No, I don't. And it wasn't a new house. I mean, it was an older house. They had to do some repairs to it and stuff like that. So honestly, maybe I was thinking as a kid, you know, there could be insects in this house. We don't know. You know what I mean? And like I said, to my five-year-old mind, and the head, I forgot to mention, the head on this thing was the size of a human. Like an adult human being. So, you know what I mean? Like I said, at first, I didn't think anything weird. I just thought maybe, you know, that's how big grasshoppers got when they reached maturity. Or, you know what I mean? I didn't know until years later, like I said, and I was listening Coast to Coast, and they were talking about it. And I actually looked up what a mantis being looks like on Google, you know, like the artist rendering or whatever. And there was one picture I came across, and it was exact. Like the head and everything looked exactly like I remember from my encounter.
And when you first saw it, now, I know, I appreciate it was a long time ago, especially trying to remember things that happened when you were five. I know I struggle. When you used to go to bed, did you used to go to bed early?
Yeah, between 8:30 and 9 o'clock every night, because I had school and.
So do you remember it used to be dark when you'd go to bed?
Yeah, it was dark. That's another thing too. I never seen it during the day. I never had any encounters, you know, during the day. I never seen anything. Of course, as a five-year-old, I wasn't looking, you know what I mean? I don't know if this has anything to do with it or not, but I can remember it was like a year later. I picked up what I thought was a butterfly cocoon because I wanted a butterfly in my room for some reason. And it turns out, my dad was so mad. I remember this. I picked up this thing, and what I know now was an egg sack. And I picked it up outside, and I put it in my drawer, and I forgot about it for almost two weeks to a month. And my dad was so mad. I can remember I came home from school, and he was cleaning my room, you know, like parents do. And he opened my drawer and he said hundreds of little tiny baby praying mantises came out of my drawer. Apparently, I had picked up an egg sack from a praying mantis. And I don't know why my dad said it back in the day, but he said, you know, it's illegal. You could go to jail for killing a praying mantis. I can't remember if they were in danger of being, you know, on the extinction level. You know, back then or whatever, I doubt it. But for some reason, my dad told me that you're not supposed to kill them. And I never did. But I can remember I came home and there's still a good number of them. My dad kind of brushed them onto a piece of paper and tossed them outside. But I can remember I came home and there was still a good number of them crawling all over my dresser. And I didn't really do anything about it. I thought it was cool. And eventually I never seen him again. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, it's always a good deterrent telling your kids they could go to prison for something like that. Could get arrested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I don't know if they were on the endangered list back in the 80s. I don't think so. But I mean, I don't know. Anything could be possible. I feel like I'm not scared of them now either. Like I said, I found myself hoping that I do see this mantis being that visited me when I was a 5-year-old kid, or at least a different one. I find myself hoping that I do have another encounter. Like, because I'll even help out. I don't know why it is, but like, if I see, like, they get really large. I don't know if you've seen some of them in the United States or not, but some of the praying mantises get really big as your hand. If I see one in the road or something like that, I'll pick it up so it don't get hit by a car, and I'll set it on a tree or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always good to help nature, right? Yeah, it's always good doing that. I've never seen them in the States, but yeah. I've seen them in the tropics, and yeah, they can get very big.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really obviously big. Not the size of an adult.
Well, no, that's the thing that weirded me out. It was the size of the head. And that's another weird thing. That's the only thing I saw was the head of this creature. I don't know why. I don't know if maybe he was trying to conceal himself so I didn't freak out. But like I said, it never made a move towards me. It just stood there and stared at me until I was asleep. And I woke up the next morning, especially like I said, on my first encounter, I woke up the next morning and I started looking for eggs, thinking maybe there's I'm going to have grasshoppers crawling on me when I'm sleeping, but never found anything.
The 40th Film Festival is a new celebration of cinema, created by people who have a passion for all things weird and paranormal. The current season is now open for submissions. Get involved if you're a filmmaker that has a penchant for poltergeists and adores aliens, or if you're a producer devoted to demonology with a soft spot for sci-fi. The deadline for submissions to this IMDb-approved festival is fast approaching. Go to www.fortianfilmfestival.com to submit your film or buy tickets, if you dare.
So you couldn't see a body, just purely a head. Was the head illuminated at all, or was it just there in the dark?
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It was illuminated. That's another thing I don't understand now, thinking back on it. Thanks for asking that question, because it was illuminated. I don't know how. It wasn't with a light though. It was just like it had its own glow to it, I guess you would say. You know what I mean? It was right in the corner of the room, so the room was pitch black, and especially the corner. When the bedroom door was closed, that corner was pitch black. And the head, I don't know, I couldn't really tell if he was stooping or if that's how tall it was, but the head reached the top of my 8.5-9 foot tall ceiling, and it was like right at the top, at the very corner. I'm looking at my apartment right now, and I can almost see this thing staring at me.
So when you're in your bed, you would have been on the right side of the room, and the corner would have been on the left side. Is that right?
No, I was on, the bed was on the left side of the room, and this mantis being was on the right. And it was my bed was right up against, it was in the corner of a room, so it was right up against a back wall and a side wall. And we had a clearance on the right side of the bed to where you could walk through the room and everything, get out the door. And, you know, it was a pretty big clearance. Like I said, it was a big room. I don't know what it was used for. You know, like I said, it used to be a store, like a little convenience but it's no longer there anymore. And I'd really be interested to find out if anybody in 82 that lived in Toledo, Ohio, you know, if they'd seen anything, you know, if there was anything in the area, anything reported, you know, because I wasn't imagining. I know this for a fact. I wasn't dreaming, you know, because like I said, I can actually remember being scared eventually. The first time I wasn't scared, I was more curious than anything. But, and that's another thing too. I was curious about it the first day, the first night that I saw it, but I couldn't get up to investigate. Something was telling me not to get out of the bed. Like I wanted to, but something was telling me not to get out of the bed, you know, leave it alone. And the weird thing is I never told my parents about it. Not once.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. How do you think they would have reacted if you had told him?
I don't know. My dad was, he was in his own thing. He had a couple of gardens that he tended all the time. My parents were older when I was born. My dad was in his early 40s and my mom was in her mid 30s. So, you know what I mean? I was born, like, my parents weren't really hands-on like I have been with my daughter. You know what I mean? I never did things with them, really. I always had friends that I played with and, you know, and stuff like that. My parents were the type of parents like, get out of the house. You're bugging the crap out of me. Go get out of the house. Come back at dinner. And then after dinner, come back when the lights are on. You know, I mean, you're not allowed back in the house until the lights are on, especially during summer vacation.
Yeah, that's something I can relate to.
Yeah. You see the street lights on, you got to come back in, or at least stand right out or be right in the yard or something to where my parents could see me.
Right. And the adventures we used to have.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, man. You can't do that anymore. You can't let your kid go out and play anymore and, you know, be a kid. And that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. I mean, don't get me wrong. The dangers that we have today, they were present in those days. It's just it wasn't a thing, you know?
Yeah, people weren't. I mean, parents were aware of it, but they weren't, you know, that concerned with it, I guess. I don't know. My parents didn't give a crap. I got to, like, I would leave all day. Like, seriously, my parents, I would leave, and during summer vacation, I would leave at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'd be gone the entire day, 12, 13 years old. I'm gone the entire day. I don't come back until 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. I would really love to see this mantis being again, though, man. It was, like, now that I know, I would actually, you know, just, I don't know how they communicate, either telepathically or what it is, but I would like to have, you know, sit down and have a conversation with this being, find out where he's from, you know what I mean? Why were you staring at me? Like, what's the deal with that? Kind of creepy, but I guess on an alien level, you know, it's not really that creepy. Like we discussed, from what I've read, they're just observers. They have scientific minds. They're observers. They watch people. They don't really, like you said, they have been involved in abductions, but I've never read about them doing the actual abduction.
And when you'd see him, would he just, or I say he, would the being just vanish and then you'd just drift off to sleep?
I don't know. I can't really remember all of it, but I think what would happen is I would just be at ease with it for some reason. And eventually I would go to sleep. From what I can remember, whether I was asleep first and I woke up because I felt something staring at me, or if it happened, I'm trying to remember. I think it would happen like right after the lights would go off and the house would be quiet, except for my dad occasionally talking on the CB radio that he had. That's when it happened. I would roll over trying to go to sleep because my dad was talking in the living room, which was literally 12 feet away from me. He would be talking, and I'd be struggling to go to sleep, and I'd roll over and I'd look up and I would see this being. It never freaked me out the first time, but, you know, two or three days later when it kept happening, you know, I did start to, you know, get a little worried, a little scared as a 5-year-old. I remember pulling my blankets up over my head, trying to hide from the thing.
Now, a month after when you had this experience with the sound, where all the sound was amplified, do you think that's connected with this mantis experience?
I do. I actually do, and I don't know why I think it was connected, but for some reason I feel like it was. Because I also felt, I remember when I first, I don't know, it's hard to explain the type of feeling you get, but after all the sounds in my house would amplify, and it wouldn't last that long either. It would maybe last a minute or two, at the longest 2 minutes, and then everything would go back to normal. All the sounds would be separate like they're supposed to. I could differentiate from my dad's CB radio, the birds, the TV, you know, all the noise. I could differentiate. But at the time when it was happening, it all got jumbled together, and it just amplified. Like you would turn up, like you're listening to your headphones, and you just turn up the speaker, or you turn up the volume as loud as it can go. And it actually hurt your ears. And that's the way this was. And I don't know if it was inside my head. I don't know if I was actually hearing it that way. But it hasn't. And that's another weird thing. It only happened for, I don't know, a couple months like that. And then it just stopped. I never had that feeling again, ever. But now I can, I don't know, it's weird. I feel people's, I've had several jobs since I've been here in Pennsylvania. And whenever I'm near somebody that in a bad, especially negative energy, I can feel it in my gut. And for some reason, their energy, that negative, when they're mad, I get mad for no reason whatsoever. I'll just get really, really upset. You know what I mean? Somebody did me wrong, that kind of upset. And it would last. It would last as long as I'm near that person.
And even if you were feeling fine, no problems before.
Yeah, there was no issues before.
When you come in contact with people that, you know, are angry or negative, you know, you start to feel that way. And then as soon as you're away from them, you go completely back to normal again.
Yeah, it goes right back to normal. And like I was going to say, whenever that was happening with me, with the noises, I can't explain what type of feeling it was, but I could feel whenever, and especially my father, for some reason. It never happened with my mother, but my dad, I could feel whenever he was close to me. Like it could be outside. I could be, or for another example, I could be dead asleep. It's happened a couple times I can remember. I would be dead asleep in the middle of the night, and I would get this feeling that my dad was either on his way in close proximity to me, or he was checking up on me to make, you know how parents do, they check on their kids, make sure they're cool. And a couple of times I would, you know, I could actually feel my dad. I don't know, it was weird. He would be walking down the street, not even in the house. And I would get a feeling like he was in close proximity to me. And it would disappear once I saw him. It was weird. I don't know why. But I think all of this ties in with my, especially the UFO sighting that I had when I was 16 years old. I think all of that ties in with this mantis.
Yeah, because that happened a few years, 10 years, 10, 11 years later.
Mm-hmm.
The actual color of the object, do you remember what color the actual light was?
It wasn't really one color. Okay, Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge. I was standing right in the center of it. It was a drawbridge, so in the center it was graded. It was metal grade. It wasn't solid concrete, you know, where the bridge opened. So I was standing right in the middle of this bridge, and I want to say maybe a quarter mile away from me was that Fifth Third Bank, that 32-story glass building I was telling you about. The moment I saw it, I just stood there and I'm staring at this thing. And this is before cell phone technology, of course. I had a beeper at the time. I didn't have any type of camera on me, but I really wish I would have. And I hope I see something like that similar again, because now I got a camera in my pocket. You know what I mean? It wasn't really a color. It was multiple colors. Like when you would shine a light on it's like a brilliant colored diamond. The clarity and the color, it shone just like a diamond. And it was a shape. I don't know, to me, from the distance where I was, it could have been rotating, but to me, it had no discernible shape to it. It was just a light that looked like, you ever look at a distant star through a telescope and you can see how it's Like you get a little bit too close to it and it gets fuzzy.
Yeah, so it'd be like a prism effect.
Yeah, exactly. And it had this liquid flowing to it. It was so cool. And like I said, it moved real slow around the back of this building, came out the right side on the other side of the building, or it hovered there for about, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds. There was no, like you've seen in that video of the Dome of the Rock, it was exactly like that, only it didn't, there was no bright flash. It just shot straight up and like, not in an angle or anything. It was weird. It was straight. You couldn't get a more perfect, you know, geometrical line straight up. It was perfect. And it just went straight up. I didn't see it anymore. And I'm sitting there looking for it. And there was three lights that were stationary. And it was huge. I can remember that, too. It was huge. Like, the lights were so far apart. Whatever this craft was, it was big. Like, it was big, big. It went from one side of the river to the other and probably past that. And that's all I seen. And I didn't see anything else except these red lights. And they weren't blinking or anything. They were stationary lights. But like I said, they were so dim, it was almost hard to see them. But you could see them if you were sitting there focusing. And that's what I did, because I wanted to see where this thing went. And I'm sitting there focusing on the sky, seeing if I could see, you know, maybe it went toward a certain star system, you know, because I'm into astrology. I always have been ever since I was, you know, a teenager. I started getting into astrology and other planets and stuff like that. But as I'm looking, and like I said, this craft must have been a mile, maybe a mile and a half. I mean, it was huge. Let's put it that way. And the lights were, like I said, the lights were so far apart. But you could, like, it was so high up there, I could see all the light, you know, in one view without turning my head. But it was big. And there was, like, three, if I can remember correctly, three or four lights in a, there was one at the top. Okay, picture a triangle. Okay, there was one at the top, two at the other, you know, one at each point of the bottom of the triangle. And then there was one in the middle, but not in the middle of the, not in the middle of the craft. It was, to me, it looked like it was in between the two bottom points of the triangle. It was like right in between there. And they were stationary lights that didn't move. They didn't blink or anything. And then all of a sudden, it was just gone. Like, almost like a cloud went over the top of it, or underneath it, I should say. And it was gone after that. It just kind of faded away.
And these lights were directly overhead. Like right above you, up towards the zenith.
Oh, yeah, directly above me. They were directly above me in downtown Toledo. It was 94, 95, and it was directly above me, man. And I'm almost positive. I can't be 100% sure, but I'm almost positive that's where this craft that I seen when it shot up, that's where it went.
But from when it left the building and then you were looking for it, you'd completely lost sight of it.
Oh, yeah, it was nowhere to be seen. I seen it shoot up. And my eyes couldn't follow it quick enough. That's how fast this was. My eyes couldn't follow it quick enough to see where it went. So I'm standing there in the middle of the bridge. I don't know if other people saw me looking up or whatever. I wasn't really paying attention. But I go up to the guardrail of the bridge and I'm leaning on the guardrail and I'm looking up to see if, you know, see where this thing went. And that's when I seen them four lights. It was like a deep red too. I remember that. It was like a deep red, like a, almost like a crimson blood red light. And they were just there for about, I stared at them for a good minute, maybe 2 minutes. And then, like I said, it just faded away like they were never there.
You didn't obviously report this anywhere.
No, I didn't report it because, well, that kind of spurred my interest in, you know, ufology and stuff like that. When I had this actual UFO sighting, that's what spurred my interest in it. And I, you know, back then I didn't know about MUFON or anything like that. I didn't know you could, you know, report stuff like that. But nowadays you can't tell, you know, if you're looking at a drone or if you're looking at something that doesn't belong on this planet. Because I've seen some drones that they move so quickly and so fast, you know, at middle of the night, they could very well be mistaken as a UFO from a distance. But I was with my brother, another little, I'm not sure if it was an encounter or not, or a sighting, I should say, but me, I was staying with my, well, he's not my brother. He's a really good friend of mine. Shout out to Lennon. I was staying with him in this little town called Cranberry. It's right outside Cranberry. It's called Zillion Oaks, Pennsylvania. And I actually called the police because I wanted somebody else to see this. You know what I mean? Somebody official. And I don't know if it was a drone or not. The cop couldn't even tell me, you know, the police officer couldn't even tell me what it was. But I was looking at it and it was about, I don't know, 5-6 miles away. And it was too close to be a star. I knew that for a fact. It was way too close to be a star. And it was way too close to be a planet. From what I could see, it was maybe moving back and forth just a little bit from left to right. So Lennon called his ex-girlfriend, or his girlfriend at the time. He called her outside. He was like, yo, come look at this. Come look at this. I remember my brother got on me because I ended up actually calling the police officer. I called 911. I'm like, yo, you guys got to come out here and see this. I was like, I'm almost 100% positive I'm staring at a UFO. And, you know, they obliged. They actually came out, and the officer that was standing next to me, he was like, I can't tell you what that is. He was like, to my best guess, I would think it was a drone. I was like, yeah, but I've been watching this thing for the past 45 minutes. I was like, how long does drone batteries last? You know what I mean? You can't fly them for that long. I don't know. He had no explanation of it. We ended up actually getting in his girlfriend's car, my brother's girlfriend's car. We actually ended up getting in her car and driving, trying to drive closer to see if we could see this thing. And, you know, she got bored with it eventually. I was like, well, I'm going to get out of the car. I'm going to see what happens. And we got a little bit closer to it, probably a couple miles closer. And it was stationary still. It hadn't moved from that spot except maybe left to right a few degrees. And I got out of the car and I was sitting there staring at it. I was a couple miles closer. And I'm sitting there staring at it. And sure enough, it is actually moving left to right. I was standing there watching. I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm standing there watching this thing. It's moving from left to right. And it's the middle of the night. All I see they weren't blinking lights. They were regular lights on this thing. And then they weren't really, really bright, but they were kind of bright enough to where you could see them. And sure enough, it was just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And eventually, I don't know why, but I got bored with it. I was thinking maybe, you know, I just brushed it off. You know, it is a drone. But now, you know, thinking back on it, I'm not so sure. Because like I said, I walked away from it. I walked back to the house. I'm like, you know, I'm not worried about it. But thinking back on it, I don't know if that was a drone or not.
I know drones did have a limited battery, I think of 30 odd minutes. So I think now, you know, obviously they're getting a little bit better. And if it's military, probably a military drone, obviously they have a lot longer time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Military drones, yeah. They got, what, 8, 9, 10-hour battery life?
Right. I mean, I know it reminded me, actually, a couple of years ago, I was sat where I am now in the studio, and I could see out the window, and it was dark. It was about 9, 10 o'clock at night, and I could see a light. I could see a light in the sky. It actually looked like a couple of lights, like flashing lights. And it would have been probably about 2-3 miles away. But I could see it up there. And I was recording with a guest and I kept on watching it. And then when I finished with the guest, it was still there. So I got in the car and I drove in that direction to see what it was. And what it turned out to be, it was a guy, right, out in the middle of the night flying a kite. And this kite had LED lights on it. So,
yeah, you know what? That very well could have been it too. That never even crossed my mind before.
I mean, it actually made the new local newspaper, that did. But I said to him, I goes, I've just driven 2 miles for this bloody light.
Wow, it actually made the news?
It actually, yeah, it was in the local newspaper.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so a lot of people saw it. And I did say to him, in very British way, I said, you twat, wasting my time. Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. this coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
You ever feel like maybe there is some other, you know, race of beings that are out there that actually know what you're doing, you know, with your podcast and everything, putting everybody's story out there? You ever get that feeling like, you know, maybe there is something else besides humans listening to you? They know what you're doing. They know what you're saying. You know what I mean? They're observing you as well.
Well, it'd be nice if one of them sent me an email and asked if I'd send them a bumper sticker. So, right. You know, it's always good. But I've kind of thought about that. And, you know, I'd like to think that they would be happy about this. You know, they would be happy about more people knowing and people feeling more comfortable with it.
Right. I think that's another thing, too. I think we're being conditioned. Because if you would have brought this information to the general public 50, 60 years ago, it would have been pandemonium. Like recently with how the Pentagon released that information, like, yeah, there is something out there, but we don't know what it is. Even though as vague as that was, it was a four-page report that was released to the public saying, yeah, there is something out there, but we don't know what it is, blah, blah, blah. If you would have released that information to the general public 60 years ago, it would have been like the Orson G. Welles War of the Worlds radio show that happened. You remember reading about that?
Yeah, I remember. That didn't work out too well.
Yeah. But now I think, you know, with Hollywood and, you know, social media and everybody, you know, capturing, and I know there's a lot of fakes. There's a lot of fake. There's a lot of CGI that you find on the internet. But if you've done it long enough, if you've looked at the videos long enough, you can tell the CGI from the real thing, because the real thing is more, I don't want to say unbelievable, but it's almost on that realm where, no, that can't be possible. But then you look at the video two or three more times, you're like, well, maybe. You know what I mean?
All the fake videos out there is really frustrating, because there's a lot of people which believe them. You know, they believe that, yeah, you know, it's blatantly CGI. And it's a shame. Mm-hmm. It's a shame about things like that. I would rather people didn't do that at all. It doesn't help the cause whatsoever.
No, it doesn't. Because all they're trying to do is get views on their channel. They make up fake sightings and stuff like that. I mean, I have ran into a few, like on legitimate websites, I have ran into a few that, you know, I'd believe it, because they were similar to the encounter that I had on the Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge. You know, you could see the thing in the distance. You could see it moving at incredible speed. They stop on a dime. You know what I mean? They accelerate from 0 to Mach 4 or whatever it is in under a second. I don't know. There is some legitimacy to things that you find on the internet, but like you said, 99% of it is BS.
Yeah, and it's a shame.
You know, one case I would love for them to actually dig deeper into, and I mean, there was police reports and everything on Travis Walton disappearing. He actually disappeared. Like, he was gone. I've looked up some of the original police reports that really did happen to him, but I would love for there to be, you know, especially with science and everything now, I would love for there to be a deeper investigation on the Travis Walton abduction. And I was just listening. Actually, I was just listening to your podcast about the foreman, the guy that was he was on your show. He was the foreman of the group that had the Travis Walton encounter.
Mike was his brother-in-law.
Yeah. I was listening to that, and I wanted to go to sleep, because I listened to you like right before I go to bed every night. And I'm tired, but I'm like, no, I got to hear this. I got to hear this. I got to see where this is going.
You know, I help thousands of people all over the world fall asleep at night.
Well, I mean, you got a great show, though, man. You really do. I got you on Spotify. I follow you on Spotify. I follow you on Facebook. You got a great show. You got to keep up the good work, man. You're doing a great job. I like how, you know, I actually feel, now that I got this off my chest, you know, I feel a little bit better now that, you know, millions of people are going to hear this.
Well, I appreciate it, Jay. And yeah, it does help. It does help to share it, you know, because it's a difficult thing to share to people. You know, not everyone wants to hear it. You know, not everyone wants to listen, yeah. Especially family members. It can be a bit difficult trying to tell them.
Right.
You know, you've told friends and acquaintances.
Yeah.
Well, the one guy in particular you've told several times.
Yeah. I like I said, I was talking to him this morning. He's like, bro, you've told me this like 40 times. Shut up already. I'm like, yeah, I know, man, but you have no idea what it was like. Thinking back on it, man, I really wish I would have just tried to interact with it somehow. But for, you know, as a 5-year-old, like I said, giant grasshopper, I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen. I had this feeling in my body, like I shouldn't, in my mind, like I shouldn't get up, lay there and go to sleep. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. I don't know if that was the creature speaking to me telepathically, trying to soothe the little kid's mind or whatever, but I never got up to investigate until the whole house was lit up with daylight. You know what I mean? And then, like I said, I went looking for an egg sack. Think the first night that it happened, the next morning I got up and I was started looking for an egg sack, thinking maybe, you know, that's the mother grasshopper, and there's a egg sack somewhere with a bunch of little baby grasshoppers in it.
It's possible, you know, there's probably a lot more to this than you remember.
I hope so.
I do get people come on, they say, you know, I had a very positive experience, and I know you have a lot of negative accounts on the show, so I just want to, you know, put what, the positive side, because there is two, you know, there's the full range, full spectrum range of experiences I have on here. Some are good, some are bad.
Yeah.
You know, some people perceive them as being bad when, you know, the intention probably isn't that way at all.
Yeah. Say, like, if the rumors are true that, you know, in Area 51, we actually recovered technology that we're using today, hence the microchip, the laser, Kevlar, all that other stuff. If we're using that technology and there's other technology out there that could benefit our country, you know, we don't want that falling into, you know, another country that is against us. We don't want that falling into their hands. I get that part. But to just come right out and say, you know, you're full of shit. It doesn't exist. What you're seeing is a planet, or you're seeing a shooting star. I have never seen a shooting star hover and then just take off like a bullet straight up into the sky. That it's never happened.
Exactly. They're not gonna, to be honest. I mean, there was the Senate briefing and meeting this week.
Oh yeah, that just happened over here. Actually, I was looking at that on YouTube. But then again, you know what I mean? They're just saying that they have a special investigation now, or a unit that investigates. They call it unidentified aerial phenomenon now. There's a group that investigates it in the government now. And all they're saying is, you know, I watched probably like an hour of it yesterday on YouTube. All they're saying is that, you know, there are some things that we're investigating. They won't get into any details about it. If it falls under their jurisdiction to investigate, they'll investigate it. And I don't know, like you said, it's just more hidden truth, more half truth. You know, it's always going to be that way. But the majority of the United States, I think the majority of the world, actually, we've already accepted that we're not alone in the entire universe. It's almost physically impossible. And if we are, that's even scarier. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, you got it. People were very optimistic when the U.S. government started coming out saying, you know, we're gonna look into these things. You know, we're gonna be a little bit more transparent. They won't be. You know, this is all just a smokescreen. Yeah. It's always the same. You know, it's the same when, you know, you got someone, a new president coming in, a new party. You know, it's always the same stuff. They say they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They never do. We have the same problem in the UK, and I imagine the world over. It's just a big smokescreen. And I don't believe, people were optimistic when all, you know, all this UFO stuff, but I wasn't. I'm not very trusting the government in any case. And especially when it comes to this, they will only tell you what they want you to know.
Like I said, I understand if there's certain technology that we've recovered that we can use to protect our country. I get that, keeping that secret. But as far as, like, we're coming to a point on this planet where fossil fuels are no longer going to be. I mean, look at all of the new car companies that are coming out with electric cars now. Cadillac's doing it. Mercedes, you know, all of these top big car companies are coming out with fully electric cars now. I'll give it maybe another 100 years and fossil fuels are going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't even give it 100 years. I know the electric car was first kind of built in the 1919, I think it was. It was a long, long time ago when there was first electric cars. Mm-hmm. The reason why we're not at the stage now or have been for the last 10, 20 odd years is because of fossil fuels, and there's so much money in it. So they're going to just drain.
Oh, they're huge.
Yeah, they're just going to drain that stuff as much as possible. So all this stuff could have been done a long time ago, but it's made a lot of people rich.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't want to make these changes. So we're kind of held back by purely by greed. You know, the people in charge just hold us back time and time again.
Right. But we're going to have to stop it eventually. You know what I mean? Why not? I don't know if it's too late for the planet. I doubt it, because we've went through several extinction level events on this planet. I mean, there's proof of it. Oh man, we can have this conversation for the next 3 hours, man. I'd love to sit down and just go over conspiracy theories and stuff with you, man, especially AI. I don't think we should. AI is going to replace humans eventually.
It reminded me actually when you said about your beeper. So I remember having a pager years ago, back in the 90s. And I remember thinking, I hope these don't get popular. I hope these don't take off. I hated them.
Right. I can remember my third grade teacher, when I was using a calculator, she always used to come up and tell me, you shouldn't use a calculator. You're not going to have them all the time.
Little did she know.
Right. It ain't like you're going to have one in your pocket wherever you go. Well, sure enough, we do.
As well as a camera.
Right.
Jay, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
All right, Nick, thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, brother.
Yep.
That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Dan and Jay for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.